Open your Bibles tonight, if you would, to the Song of Solomon. Tonight's lesson will be the most unusual of all the lessons we've had. I want to teach tonight on the growth of love between a husband and wife. The growth of love between a husband and wife. Now, basically, I'm going to use the growth of love for the husband for the wife. No talking, please. Everybody look out this way. I'm going to basically teach on the love of the husband for the wife and how that love is supposed to grow. And you can apply it also, of course, to the wife's love for the husband. Song of Solomon, chapter 4. We've been in these verses before, but I just want to read a few of them. How fair is thy love, my sister, my spouse. Notice the two things there that are mentioned. This bridegroom calls his bride a sister and then a spouse. Look, if you would please, at chapter 4 and chapter 5, verse number 1. I am coming to my garden, my sister, my spouse. There it is again. I have gathered my myrrh with my spice. I've eaten my honeycomb with my honey. I've drunk my wine with my milk. Eat, O friends. Notice the word friends. Drink, ye drink abundantly, O beloved. Now you have two words there. He calls friends, and then beloved. Now in verse 2. I sleep, but my heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, Open ye my sister. There it is again, my love, my dove, my undefiled. Now look, if you would please, at chapter 7 and verse number 1. How beautiful are thy feet, the shoes, O prince's daughter. The joints of thy thighs are like jewels, the work of the hands of a cunning workman, our heavenly Father. Thank you for this book, this great book called the Bible, and this precious little book that we have studied for now 15 weeks tonight. Help us, I pray, as men, to love our wives more. And not only love them more, but more like we ought to love them. Because we've come tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, Father, bless us as we look at the Word of God and how we ought to be as husbands and wives. Please help us. Amen. I'm going to try something tonight. I don't know how in the world it's going to work. But I'm going to try to use a visual aid. I used to do this a lot more than I do now. But tonight I'm going to have a little visual aid kind of a lesson. And to help you understand something about the way a man ought to love his wife. I'm going to ask, let's see who's up here. Maybe I want to hear you now. Do you mind? If you mind, doesn't matter. You're going to do it anyway. So, Debbie, I want you to stand right over here, if you would, please. And I'm going to let Debbie represent a lady. That's just what I got written down here. So, this is going to be a typical young lady. Actually, right now, she's an infant. She's going to grow up before your eyes tonight. In fact, she's going to grow old before your eyes. If you look carefully, you can see she's already aged a bit. Now then, this young lady, Debbie, it comes into the world, and she has a mother and a father. I don't think your heart's in this, is it? You've been praying. You get through this, haven't you?
No.
All right. And then you stand between mother and father. You came between them when you got born. Okay. Now, that means that originally, when she came into the world, she had the love of a mother and the love of a father. Now, with the passing of the years, then there comes others. And I'm gonna let you be her brother
What in the world have you got on your feet? Step over there. Somebody better kill it. Now then, Debbie is in a nice, loving family. She has a father who loves her. She has a mother who loves her. And she has a brother who doesn't know it, but he loves her too. Now then, you have a family of mother and father, and Debbie has a mother, father, and a brother. And then, with the passing of time, there comes another child, and that's a sister, Kathleen. Now, what Debbie is doing is she's gathering the loves around her. She started off with the love of a mother, and then the love of a father, and then the love of a brother, and the love of a sister. Now, none of these two loves are exactly alike. Each is unique to itself. Then, one day, she has to say, now we got one brother. She's going to have another brother then. So give me a young brother down here. Give me anybody. Just give me one of you guys. That's it. I had in mind someone better looking than you, but that's all right. Now then, here's Christian Family USA. And here is Debbie, and with the love of a mother, the love of a father, the love of a sister, the love of two brothers. You have a typical family, a mother, father, two girls, and two boys. And then, where is your husband, Debbie? Over here, come over here. In spite of all of our teaching that you're not supposed to date anybody that runs with the wrong crowd, she then has a husband. And now then, now, you see, all she's been doing all of these years is gathering different kinds of loves. Her mother has a love that is unique to a mother. Nobody has a love just like a mother's love. Her father has a love that's different from a mother's love. Nobody loves exactly like a father. Her brothers have loves that are unique. And we kind of thought brothers just not loving each other, but that isn't true. I met one time about 13 years ago a brother who loved his sister. It was in Ripley's, believe it or not, I think, or I saw it. But these loves are all unique. Now then, she has the love of a mother, the love of a father, the love of a brother, the love of a sister, the love of a brother, and the love of a husband. Or I guess we could say a lover. Would that be an adequate way to put it? And so she has all these loves. You see, what she is, she's in the peak of her life. Her mother's still living to love her. Her father's still living to love her. Her two brothers still here to love her. Her sister is still here, and each has a unique love. And then, one day, they have a child, a little boy. Brother Mike Morse just asked me if they could put him up for adoption. Now then, they have a son. And then they have a daughter. This is your mommy over here. Over here. That's right. And then they have another son. Trying to find somebody that's young. Well, you guys over here, come up here. The divorce has some Spanish blood in him. I was afraid this wasn't going to work out tonight. Now, then they have another son. Nabal's great-great-grandfather was Spanish. That's where she learned how to... I've been not say that. Now then, she had another daughter. Did you ever see a happier family in your life? It just something sort of gets you right there, doesn't it? Now, each of these people, father, mother, husband, brother, sister, sons, and daughters, bring to Debbie a love that is unique to itself. The love that I have for my sister is a kind of a love that I have for nobody else, exactly. The kind of love that I had for my mother is a kind of a love that I've never had for anybody else. All these loves are unique. And Debbie is the recipient. My soul, 11 people here in their family circle to love Debbie. And then something happens. Where's the brother? Your brother?
No,
your son, that's right. You're a brother. Okay. The brother gets married. The father dies. He said, give me your wallet as you go down. What's the old story about the fellow who thought who wanted to take his money to heaven with him? So he took all his money and put it in the attic. He died. His wife went up there. It was still there. She said, I knew he should have put it in the basement. You'll get that about 2 o'clock in the morning. You'll get that. Now then, Debbie has lost the love of a brother, and she's lost the love of a father. Here is where husband's love is supposed to grow. All of a sudden, Debbie's husband is going to have to offer her the same love that her father gave her. Now, it doesn't mean that he'll love her anymore as a wife, a husband loves a wife. But he'll add a new dimension to his love. He'll add the love of a father. Now listen carefully to me. Every man in this room who has a wife ought to love her so as when her father passes away, you will offer her the same kind of... There's a certain kind of a... A security, is that the word I want? That a father offers a daughter. And then when that father's gone, the husband is supposed to take the place of that father's love and love her not only... Now, you don't trade the husband's love for the father's love. You add the father's love to the husband's love. Now, if Mike does not do that, then Debbie is going to be missing a certain kind of a love that she's had all these years. So now brother got married and the father dies and the sister gets married. Sister, you go back and get married. Is this prophetic? Or prophetic? So the sister gets married. Now then, she doesn't have a sister. I want to say this. A sister's love for her sister, though she may not recognize it, is the love of a best friend. A sister's love for a sister, if it's the kind of love it ought to be, is the love of a best friend. Now then, Mike, one by one, these other loves are leaving Debbie. She has a brother still here, but she has no sister here. That means that you are supposed to give her the security that her father has given her. You're also supposed to give her the best friend relationship that her sister gave her. I'm talking tonight on the subject, the growth of love. I'm not talking about love increasing. I'm talking about loves increasing. Now then, as the father passed off the scene, it is Mike's job to fill that void with a fatherly love. And then when Kathleen passed off the scene, it is Mike's job to fill that void with the love that a sister would have for a sister or a best friend, if you please. So then the brother dies. Die, son. And this kind of thing happens in many families. Someone in midlife, if you please, or maybe sometimes in young adulthood, passes away. Now then, she has, let's see, what are you? What? Son? And your son? We got three sons? You didn't tell me about this. We got three sons, all right? So, all of a sudden, couple of sons get married. So the two guys get married. Not to each other. This is one of those nights, folks. It's winter time, and it's just one of those nights. My wife calls these scrambled egg sermons. Now then, the other, your son, all right? He passes, he gets married. Now then, she's lost her sons, her brothers, her sister, her father. Now it's the job of the husband to increase his love, increase his loves. That means that you ask her to spend her life with you, and the truth is you're the only one going to be left. That's a discouraging thought, isn't it? But you're the only one going to be left, because one by one, these other loves, see, these other loves are not permanent. These other loves go, these other loves get married, they die, move away, and so forth. Now then, Mike, you're to love her as a father loves her. You're to love her as a sister loves her, best friend. There's a certain kind of a love that a brother has for a sister, that if it's the right kind of love, it's almost indescribable. I feel very protective of my sister, always have. Though I've always been 8 years her senior, and junior. Though she's always been 8 years older than I am, and it looks like she's going to remain that distance ahead of me. I've always felt protective of my sister. It's an old story I told years ago. Our son David was a little boy about 7 years old. He had some playmates across the street. And they were pretty good boys. They weren't a Christian family, but they're decent kids. They used didn't use bad language, and they were obedient kids and decent kids. We'd let David play with them on occasion. One day I looked across the street. I was up in the bedroom, looked across the street, and saw David had one of those little boys down, hit him in the face and beaten the nasal mucus out of him. And so I ran downstairs, I jumped across the street, and I said, "Here, get off of him!" And I said, "Son, what are you doing?" And he said, call my sister a dirty name. I said, get back on him. Now, some of you pastors, mothers don't like that. I don't give a flip. But when my sister was in the hospital, I felt very protective of her. I feel like I need to be sure she's cared for. I don't see her often because we're both busy. She sees me in the, as I preach, and I see her in passing, and a few weeks ago, something very interesting happened to me. I felt a strange need to have a talk with my sister about her future. And I asked her, I said, Ernie, I said, let me take you out to eat one of these nights. I always hesitate to do that for fear somebody's going to think I'm taking another woman out to eat, which I was doing. But I took her out to eat about it, and I said, Arlene, I feel strange. I feel a certain kind of a strange feeling. I need to talk to you about your future. I talked to her about her workload. She's 78 years old now. We sat there for a couple of hours, I guess, and talked about different areas of her life. And I could tell that she felt so protected. She felt so cared for, so sheltered. And just a few days later, she was rushed to the hospital with heart condition. And it looked like she was going to have heart bypass surgery. Now, when you lose that kind of a love, it's your job to fill that kind of a love. The love is not growing. The loves are growing. Now listen, fellas, ask a question. Is your father-in-law still alive? Ask this question. Are you providing the kind of love that he gave your wife? Or does she, every time she loses someone, does she subtract a certain kind of a love? I feel toward Mrs. Hiles a lot of ways. Anger, bitterness. I feel a lot of ways. I feel like I'm more than her husband. I feel like I'm her brother because her brother went to heaven a couple of years ago. I feel very fatherly towards her because her father's in heaven. So as you grow older, the woman, by the way, you can transfer this the other way too, but I'm talking just to men tonight. The woman that you have is either going to have more loves from you, or she's going to be missing a love. Now then, Brother Mike, you're to love this girl with a love that you had for her when you married her. You're to love this girl with the love that this man had for her. You'd love this girl with the love that the sister back here had for. You'd love this girl with the love the brothers had for. And then, one day, a daughter gets married. Now then, she's lost sons, a daughter, she's lost brothers, sister. Now, it's up to you, Mike, to be, by the way, there's a certain kind of feeling that a son has for his mother. It's a reverence. It's a reverential thing. And now, Mike, you add not only that love of security, from the love of a lover and a husband, but you add to that the love of security and the love of the protectedness of a brother and the love of almost a worship of a mother. You've got a lot of love to give to her. You've got to do it. Ask your question. How you doing, fellas? How you doing? Some of you guys aren't even giving your wives the love that a husband ought to give her. You don't give her the protection. The honest truth is, in some cases, she offers you more security than you offer her. Which reminds me, I was alone last Thursday and Friday night at the house. You know what scares me? Our electric ice maker makes noise when it makes new ice. Our refrigerator has an electric ice maker. Any of you have one of those things? When you by yourself by 2 o'clock in the morning, and a whole bunch of that stuff falls down that little box down there, it's comfortable under the bed, but it's hard to breathe. But I'm working on it. I'm going to provide my wife security one of these days. Until then, be home all you can. You see, I'm talking about the growth of love, or the growth of loves. And then one day, the last daughter gets married. Mike is asking mother-in-law if she'd die. Don't laugh. Every son-in-law in this room is saying the same thing. Now, with all the passing, here's this little girl. Don't forget that big long line of people we had a while ago. Don't forget that big family unit we had a while ago. One by one, those loves have been leaving. Don't misunderstand me in the cases where the son got married, daughter got married, brother, sister got married. They still have love, but they have their own circle now. And here is Debbie left with her mother and her husband. And then one day, Mike hears the good news. Look at that smile on his face. Oh, happy day. Now, by the way, this is where Ms. Howes now are. And this is where you're going to be for long. Because his youngest is going to get married for long. I hope everybody knew that. They do now, anyway. We're just announcing it tonight. But it's going to happen. Now, when it happens, Brother Ray, are you going to love Debbie with the love that her son had? Son? Son? You're going to love, Mike, you're going to love Debbie when that happens? You have a heap of loves. Not only the love of a husband, but the love of a brother to a sister. The love of the best friend, love of a sister to a sister. The protective kind of a worshipful love of a son to a mother. The pal kind of a love, and I know this is true in your family, the pal kind of a love that a mother has, or a daughter has with her mother. This gal here, she's a pal. In fact, look at them up there. They got arms interwoven up there right now. They're pals. But now, all that's gone now. The two of you, they're all gone. Your mother-in-law's dead. And she left you something when she died. Peace of mind. Now, I'll tell you something. Every single couple in this room, if you do not go to heaven prematurely, you're going to face exactly what they are right now. Ask a question, fellas. How you doing? Is your wife starving for a father's love? Is your wife hungry for a best friend's love? Is your wife hungry for the protective kind of a love that a brother has to offer? Is your wife hungry for the worshipful kind of a love that and the almost worshiping kind of a love that a daughter has for a mother? One of the saddest things in this world is the cheapness of the average man's love for his wife. And one of these days when all the others are gone, that's the way you're going to be. Thank you, folks. Give them a hand, would you? So Mike is to love her like a husband loves a wife. And Mike is to love her like a father loves a daughter. And Mike is to love her like a brother loves a sister. And Mike is to love her like a sister loves a sister. And Mike is to love her like a son loves a mother. And Mike is to love her like a daughter loves a mother. Now, three brief observations. One by one, the mate is to fill the void. Let me go back to what I've taught before many times, Revelation chapter 2 and verse 5, and it's an old lesson. When Jesus talked to the church at Ephesus, he said to the church at Ephesus, he said that you're a good church. You believe the Bible. You stand for the name of Jesus. You hate sin. You're faithful. You're hard workers. You're a good church. But he said, I have somewhat against you. You have left your first love. Now, God is now saying to this church at Ephesus, I want you to go back to your first love. And by the way, this church at Ephesus loved our Lord dearly. They loved him enough to stand for his name. They loved him enough to stand for his word. They loved him enough to be separated. They loved him enough to fight error and heresy. They loved him with a deep, abiding, wonderful kind of a love. But they had left that sweet honeymoon first love. And God said to the church at Ephesus, I want you to go back and get your first love. Now, he's not saying leave the present love that you have now and go back to your first love. He's saying go back and get that first love. That's the amen love. That's the praise the Lord love. That's the hallelujah love. That's in a marriage, that's the whoopsie-whoopsie love, the goochie-goochie love, the lovey-dovey kind of love. And God is saying, I want you to go back and get that first love. It was sort of a shallow kind of a thing, maybe. You didn't know all about the Bible that you know now. I can take you to church after church after church across this country where the people back down to years ago were like First Baptist Church of Hammond is tonight. And yet, they've learned more Bible and learned more Bible and learned more about God, learned more about prayer. So they've grown to love God with a deep kind of a sedated love. A formal kind. Now, they love him, and it probably is a greater love than they had before. But God is saying, I do not want to lose this deep love that you have nurtured, but I want you to go back and get that sweet honeymoon love that you had and add it to the deep love that you have now. And that's what I'm teaching tonight. When you first married her, you're attracted to her, of course, because you thought she was attractive. You thought she was a wonderful person. And you loved her as a husband loves a wife. But it'd be a shame for you to only love her that way after 25, 30, 40 years. She needs the same kind of love her daddy gave her. She needs the same kind of love her mama gave her. She needs the same kind of love her brothers gave her. She needs the same kind of love her sister gave her. She needs the same kind of love her daughters gave her and her sons gave her. All of that, she's got one person left, and that's Mike, to love her. I've said this before. Every woman who's married needs to be cherished. By the way, that's what you said you'd do. To love and cherish. What does that mean? It means tender treatment. What does that mean? It means walking on the outside and she walks on the inside like a mannerly husband who knows etiquette's supposed to do. What does it mean? Opening the car door when anybody's looking. What does it mean? It means treating her carefully. What does it mean? It means if you're going down an escalator, if it's wide enough, you hold her arm. If it's not wide enough, you get in front of her. So if she stumbles, you can stop her. What does it mean? It means that you treat her with all the etiquette of an Emily Post. And if you cherish her, that she feels cherished. Love from you, fella, that you gave her at marriage, her father gave her at home, her mother gave her at home, her brothers gave her at home, her sister gave her at home, her daughters gave her at home, and her sons gave her at home. Observation number one by one, the mate is to fill the void. And that's what I call the growth of love, of the growth of loves. And you don't, when the father died, Brother Mike didn't exchange his love of a husband for the love of a father. He added the father love to the husband love. Observation number two. You need to stay close to prepare for the days alone. You need to stay close to prepare for the days alone. Now, it seems like a long time, Mike, before you and Debbie are going to be alone, but it's going to happen. It'll happen before you know it. You won't realize it. I heard Bob O'Clair say amen. I can recall when Bob O'Clair's children were born. And he was just like you are now. Now then, they're about all gone. Won't be long, they all will be gone. And just he and Mrs. O'Clair are going to be at home. It won't take long. Now, that means that you prepare yourself for that day. Number three. None of these, I said a while ago, none of these take the place of being a sweetheart. Now, what I want to say is this. One of these days, you're going to be 80. You're better in heaven or... depends on where you put your money, in the basement or the attic. I don't know. But what I've done for these 15 weeks is I've wanted to prepare you for that time. It's going to come. If you live to a normal, ripe old age, it's going to come. And I want your wife, when she gets there, to have the love that a husband ought to give her. I want you to offer the love that a father ought to give her, the love that a brother ought to give her, the love that a son ought to give her, the love that a sister ought to give her, the love that a mother ought to give her. I want you to increase your loves. She deserves it. By that time, she would have borne you some children. If that's all she ever did, she deserves something. Fellas, I'm talking to you tonight. I want you to have happy marriages. And I want those marriages to grow and deepen and get stronger as the years pass. And I want her not to lose love when she loses the certain people that leave. But I want you husbands to say, I'll love her that way. I'll love my wife for the love that her father gave her, the love that her mother gave her, the love that her brother gave her, the love that her sister gave her, the love that her son gave her, the love that her daughter gave her. I'll see to it that my wife is not cheated of one single love that she's ever had. You'll also love her with the same love that you have for a business meeting. That deep, abiding love that you feel right now.